RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates 6 diesel power plants in East Nusa Tenggara. Bank Indonesia said current account deficit is still wide. All Indonesian prospective Hajj pilgrims will depart soon. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo on Friday, August 28, inaugurated 6 diesel power plants in East Nusa Tenggara. The inauguration of the plants is part of the 50 diesel power plants spread throughout 6 provinces in Indonesia, including Aceh, East Kalimantan, North Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara, Maluku, and Papua. President Joko Widodo inaugurated in Batan Electric Steam Power Plant, Central Java, by using a video conference for chatting. In East Nusa Tenggara, the inauguration was held in Naikake, a village Buddhist district TTU and the borders with the Oikusi district, Democratic Republic of Timor Leste. Although they have just been inaugurated, PLN East Nusa Tenggara has stood on the electricity in some locations coinciding with their celebration of Indonesia's 17th Independence Day. Those locations that had been recently powered by electricity including Dau Island, Rutin Dau Regency, Upoli Village, Kupan Regency, and Nakake A Village, TTU Regency. Bank Indonesia has admitted the deficit in primary income transactions is still large due to strong capital outflow accounts by loan interest payment, investment profits, and repatriation of private profits. Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo said on Tuesday, August 27, that he would strengthen coordination with the government to reduce the deficit in income transactions, which have touched $26 billion until 2014. The deficit in income transactions is the biggest contributor to the current account deficit, which has been recorded at $27 billion. He pointed out the new package of economic policies to be unveiled by the government will be soon received well by the market. He said the new economic package would be an integral part of the economy and would help synchronize sectors and provide them with the long-awaited stimulus. Bank Indonesia's governor has also submitted recommendations on sectors that need to be covered by the new economic policies. Although these proposals are still an initial stage and the report cannot be revealed yet. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin has expressed optimism that all Indonesian prospective Hajj pilgrims who had been registered in the 2015 Hajj quota will depart for the Holy Land to Mecca and Medina soon. He stated on Tuesday after attending a discussion at the Islam University of Universitas Islam Malan UNISMA that Hajj visas process this year is taking longer time compared with the past years due to the use of the new Hajj system that needs adjustment. Data relating to the prospective Hajj pilgrims, such as identity of the congregations, including transportation and accommodation affairs during their stay in the Holy Land, has to be inserted in the Hajj system. The minister said that this process was time-consuming. However, the Religious Affairs Ministry had done its best to expedite the visa-making process for the total of 155,200 passport holders. Indonesian government has set a safeguard on the import of steel wire rod at 14.5% after imports of the product surged between 2010 and 2013. The chief of the Indonesian Trade Safeguard Committee, Ernawati, said in a press statement released on Tuesday that the imposition of safeguard is based on the Finance Minister regulation on August 11th, which is related to the imposition of safeguards on the import of steel wire rod. The safeguard will be imposed in three phases, with the first one starting from August 17, 2015 to August 16, 2016, at the rate of 14.5%. The second period will be from August 17, 2016 to August 16, 2017, at 10%, and the third one will be from August 17, 2016 to August 16, 2017, at a rate of 5.5%. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said stated that the government will not reduce fuel prices, although world oil prices continue to drop. Last Friday, United States crude price drops to the level below $40 per barrel for the first time in the past 6 years. He said that the decision to maintain the current fuel prices was made to cover for Deputy Pertamina's losses. Although the company had booked a net profit $570 billion for the first semester of 2015. Pertamina Director Dwi Sucipto said that there is a potential losses of around $1 billion, around 12 trillion rupiah, due to the new method of fuel price determination applied by the government. Therefore, Dwi hoped that the government would not decrease the prices of premium type fuel in order for Pertamina to cover the potential losses. Price for the West Texas Intermediate for October shipment experienced an 87-cent decrease to the level $40.45 per barrel at the New York Merchandise Exchange. The last item, the Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force, SKK Migas, predicted that this year's oil lifting would miss the target as 10 major holders of oil and gas cooperation contracts had lowered their lifting prediction. SKK Migas spokesperson Alan Biantoro told Tempo on Friday that the prediction was made due to a decline in productivity of Cebu Block's Banyu Urip oil field, managed by ExxonMobil Cebu Limited, to around 80,000 barrels per day following workers' unrest in early August. Alan predicted that Cebu Block would resume its normal production of 100,000 barrels per day by October this year, and the peak production of 225,000 barrels per day would be achieved in December or early next year. The cost recovery reached $9.87 billion, or around 70.5% of the target set at $14 billion. In addition, the realization of steady income had reached $9.15 billion from the target $14.99 billion. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled In Peace in South Sudan. South Sudan is a country that was established not long ago. After 5 years of the Republic of South Sudan was formed, the country has experienced a conflict that lasted almost 2 years. The real conflict was a civil war that began in December 2013 because of a power struggle between President Salva Kiir, who is from the majority Dinka tribe, and Vice President Riek Machar, who comes from ethnic Nuer, and fired by Kiir in 2013. The civil war was similar to inter-tribal war. The war ended after President Salva Kiir signed a peace agreement with Riek Machar on Wednesday, August 26, 2015. Tribune.com in Sudan reported on Tuesday that the signing of the peace agreement was reached on Wednesday afternoon local time, and it was witnessed by President of Uganda, Yoweri Museveni, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Hailemariam Desalegn, and Vice President of Sudan, Hassan Bakari. Although he signed the accord, Kiir said that he was faced with dilemma whether rejecting the peace or accepting war, but it was against the will of the people of South Sudan. Kiir accused some loyal forces to former Vice President Machar to attack government troops a few hours before the signing. The peace agreement is, of course, a positive history for the youngest member state of the United Nations. The warring parties actually wanted to continue the war. However, the threat that the international community will impose sanctions for both sides has made the conflicting leaders finally achieve peace. Although eventually reconciliation is reached, there are still some issues such as the division of power between the government and the rebel that allows Riek Machar to resume his position as vice president. The government is not too happy with the demilitarization of the state capital, Juba. Handover of oil-rich region in Afrinail to the rebels and permits to foreigners as the leader of the Peace Accord Monitoring Committee. The peace in Sudan has been achieved, although there are still some issues to be soon resolved. The issues should be discussed by both parties without bullets. In regard to this, Amnesty International AI hopes to respond the peace agreement of both parties. In addition, Amnesty International also expects support from the UN Security Council, the Organization of African Unity, and the neighboring countries to play an active role in maintaining the peace process that lasts for good. It is not appropriate for the leaders of South Sudan, which is faced by a lot of issues, to think about themselves and their group. It's time for them to liberate the people of South Sudan from poverty by utilizing their oil wealth. It is not expected that Sudan's abundant natural resources are being cursed. Sudanese people are waiting for prosperity instead of misery. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on August 28, 1990. Iraq announces Kuwait as its 19th province. After occurring military invasion for some weeks in Kuwait, Iraq finally claimed the country as its 19th province on August 28, 1990. Iraqi invasion to Kuwait aimed to take over Kuwait's oil wealth. However, the invasion got a negative reaction from the international world. The world and the United Nations then criticized and ordered Iraq walk out from Kuwait. Shortly, a number of countries led by the United States sent their troops to Persian Gulf to expel Iraq. Finally, the Allied troops led by the United States conducted military attack to Iraq, caused material loss and large damage to Iraqi people and troops. Due to the Allied attack, on February 28, 1991, Iraq ended its annexation in Kuwait. On August 28, 1993, Galileo Moon spacecraft stay around asteroid. This set of color images of asteroid 243 Ida was taken by the imaging system on the Galileo spacecraft as it approached and raced past the asteroid on August 28, 1993. These images have been processed to show Ida as it would appear to the eye in approximately natural color. The star shadows portray Ida's irregular shape, which changes its silhouetted outline when seen from different angles. More subtle shadings reveal surface topography or suggest craters and differences in the physical state and composition of the soil. Analysis of the images showed that Ida is 58 kilometers long and 23 kilometers wide, or 36 by 14 miles. Ida is the first asteroid discovered to have a natural satellite, Dactyl. Both Ida and Dactyl are heavily cratered by impacts with smaller asteroids and comets, including some of the same populations of small objects that bombard Earth. We conclude today's segment of Today in History. On August 28, 2014, Recep Tayyip Erdogan is inaugurated to be Turkish president. On August 10, 2014, Turkey performed directly presidential election for the first time after 91 years. During this time, Turkish president was elected by parliament. There were three candidates in 2014 presidential election in Turkey. Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan also participated in the presidential election. Two other candidates, namely Ekmeleddin İnanoğlu, Secretary General of Organization of Islamic Conference, OIC, since 2005, and Selahattin Demirtas, Kurdish ethnic politician in Turkey. Recep Tayyip Erdogan was elected as the 12th president of Turkey, the result of the country's election on August 10, 2014. Erdogan won the presidential race with 52% of vote, defeated his two competitors. On August 28, 2014, Erdogan was officially inaugurated as the 12th president of Turkey. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with today's focus entitled Indonesian Government Ensures the Hajj Pilgrims to be Departed. Listener, Director of Foreign Hajj Service Religious Ministry Sri Ilham Lubis in Mecca on Tuesday said the religious ministry ensured the Hajj pilgrims, those who postponed their visas, will leave as soon as possible before the last flight to Mecca. He said the problem of the postponement of Hajj visa this year, not only experienced by Indonesia, but also other countries in the world that departed their Hajj pilgrims, such as Thailand, Pakistan, and Nigeria. The problem of Hajj visa cause of Saudi Arabian government applied a new system, namely e-Hajj. In addition, all services contract in Saudi Arabia, such as catering and accommodation, as well as services in Armina or Arafah, Mina, and Muzdalifah, included into the requirement in the e-Hajj system. After that, the Hajj Ministry of Saudi Arabia gave approval to the Foreign Affairs Ministry to approve the visa for the pilgrims online. He admitted the e-Hajj system, which is just applied this year, has not smoothly yet, so that the postponement of the process of Hajj visa occurred in Indonesia and many other countries. As for the Hajj officer, he admitted not encounter obstacles to obtaining a visa because there is no provision of packaging services and they also have separate quota. Indonesian Religious Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin represents the government asking apologize to the pilgrims, candidate, and family toward the postponement of the visa. Currently, he added, it takes longer because the data of each pilgrim from all over the world must be recorded and integrated into a system called eHajj, the system implemented by the government of Saudi Arabia. This has resulted in the need for a longer time in the visa process and impact to some pilgrims in a certain flight group. Moreover, Indonesia needs more time to process the visas because the country dispatched more than 1,500 pilgrims this year. Well, the new system is enacted ahead of the departure, not from the initial process of Hajj departure. Meanwhile, member of Commission 8 of Indonesian House of Representatives, Khatibul Umam Wiranu, at DPR Building, Jakarta, asked the government to immediately overcome the case of Hajj visa. He concerned the policy of religious ministry that blamed mechanism of the visa process from manual into electric system. Whereas, the government of Saudi Arabia has informed previously about the changes of the system since the implementation of 2014 Hajj pilgrims. Khatibul deplored unpreparedness and inability of the Ministry of Religious Affairs in organizing the pilgrimage. Listener, that was Focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo on Friday, August 28, inaugurated 6 diesel power plants in East Nusa Tenggara. The inauguration of the plants is part of the 50 diesel power plants spread throughout 6 provinces in Indonesia, including Aceh, East Kalimantan, North Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara, Maluku, and Papua. Bank Indonesia has admitted that the deficit in primary income transactions is still large due to strong capital outflow caused by loan interest payment, investment profits, and repatriation of private profits. Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo said on Thursday that he would strengthen coordination with the government to reduce the deficit in income transactions, which have touched $26 billion until 2014. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin has expressed optimism that all Indonesian prospective Hajj pilgrims who had been registered in the 2015 Hajj quota will depart for the Holy Lands to Mecca and Medina soon. Indonesian government has set a safeguard on the import of steel wire rod at 14.5% after imports of the product surged between 2010 and 2013. The chief of the Indonesian Trade Safeguard Committee, Ernawati, said in a press statement released on Thursday that the imposition of safeguard is based on the Finance Minister regulation dated on August 11, which is related to the imposition of safeguard on the import of steel wire rod. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said stated that the government will not reduce fuel prices although world oil prices continue to drop. Last Friday, the United States crude price drops to level below $40 per barrel for the first time in the past 6 years. The Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force, SKK Migas, predicted that this year's oil lifting would miss the target as 10 major holders of oil and gas cooperation contracts, KKKS, had lowered their lifting prediction. SKK Migas spokesperson Elan Biantoro told Tempo on Friday that the prediction was made due to the decline in productivity of Cepu Block's Banyu Urip oil field managed by ExxonMobil Cepu Limited to around 80,100 barrels per day following workers' unrest in early August. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Lisa. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to West Sumatra Province, so stay tuned. Listener, you should not be surprised if you see many monkeys roam when you visit Pariaman in West Sumatra. People there utilize monkeys to assist their work picking coconuts. Because it is located in the coastal ocean, palm trees thrive in Pariaman city. Most people there work as coconut farmers. They are helped by the monkeys to pluck coconuts. The monkeys are very helping, since they can pick a lot of coconuts in a short time. In order to be able to pick coconuts well, the local people send their monkeys to Sekolah Barua. Sekolah in the local language means school, and Barua means monkey. Sekolah Barua often found in the Pariaman city and Padang, West Sumatra. The coconut plantation owners utilize monkey to pluck coconuts because the height of coconut trees are not safe when the man climbed it. The height of a palm tree in West Sumatra is an average of 200 meters. Therefore, the farmers take advantage of monkeys. When the coconuts are ready to be picked up, they send a monkey to pick it. Monkey participating in school does it. The monkeys which want to get trained in the school does not has to have criteria. Well, does not need to have criteria. Not all monkeys are schooled. Usually only 1 year male monkey goes to school. The monkeys train for 6 months in the Sekolah Barua or monkey school. They are trained to pick coconuts and all the orders are given to it. During the training, the monkeys only talk two languages, namely Nan Kete, which means that small coconut, and Nan Gadang, which means big coconut. In order to make the monkey always excellent, the employer must provide regularly portions with secret recipe. Banana and herbs are given every day, and not infrequently, red wine mixed with duck eggs are also given. In the monkey school, the trainer trains the monkey's instinct. The main thing is the harmony and the emotional ties that have developed between the monkey and the trainer. The monkey should be treated like a close friend. Listener, a monkey trained with a rope tied around the neck will easily climb coconut. Arriving at the top, the monkeys would know which one is the old coconut that is ready for picking. After picking them, the monkeys drop them down. When he finished the work, he would go down and the employer will collect the scattered coconuts. And a professional monkey is capable of picking up to 1,000 coconuts per day. Monkey which have picking up coconuts is a local Minang wisdom, a native of West Sumatra, which is still maintained. In fact, it is now a tourist attraction. Not infrequently, many tourists who visit Padang Pariaman amazed at the ability of these monkeys. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sekolah Barua or Monkeys School. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
For a listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Nuka. Today's edition presents you Macapat art, which is in the brink of extinction. Macapat is a Japanese traditional poem. Every sentence line of Macapat is called gatra. Every gatra has a number of certain syllables, and it ends with the sound of the last rhyme called guru lagu. Macapat with other names can be also found in the culture of Bali, Sasak, Madura, and Sundanese. Besides, Macapat is found in Palembang, South Sumatra, and Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan too. Macapat is predicted to emerge in Java in the end of Majapahit era. It is because in East Java and Bali, Macapat has been known before Islam entered the regions. Generally, Macapat is defined as Maca Papat Papat, or reading every four syllables sequentially. Macapat contains a lesson of life that can be applied in daily life. It is because this art is full of advice and philosophy. When Islam started spreading, Macapat was used as a media to propagate among wali or holy preachers. The efforts of Wali Songo or nine holy preachers to preach through art turned out to bring amazing effect. Almost 90% of people in the country admitted that they were Muslim. Although not all Wali lived in the same era, their struggle was continuous, arranged and planned. Macapat is divided into 11 tembang or poems with different philosophy and meaning. Based on its type and order, tembang Macapat actually describes stages of humans' lives from spirit nature to the death. The first stage is tembang Macapat is described in Mas Kumambang. This song describes human that is still in spirit nature and then put in mother's womb. It continues with birth or mijil. Sinom is the description of young age, which is a wonderful moment with full of hope and dreams. Kinanti is a period of character building to reach dreams. Asmarandana depicts moments of romance. Gambu, with the first word jumbu, means united, commitment to unite love in a marriage. Dandanggula is description of settled life with welfare and freedom from death.
Tumah shows gratitude to Allah, or God Almighty, so that we should give charity and share with each other. Pangkur or mungkur means avoiding anger and negative lust. Meanwhile, megatruh or megatroh means separated soul from the body when the spirit goes toward eternity. Well, one listener that answered this miscellany on my chapat art, which is in the brink of extinction. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with Minuka in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern. Today's edition, we'll present you a dangdut singer, Mega Mustika. Well, listener, to begin the program, here is the first song to play by Mega Mustika, entitled Kau Asing Di Mataku. Enjoy!
Thank you.
listener, Mega Mustika is an Indonesian dangdut singer who was born on June 23, 1974. She is the descendant of a legendary musician, Ruston Nawawi, who created amazing works. Mega Mustika was in top fame in 1980s and early 1990s with her hit songs like Hitam Bukan Putih, Bukan Yang Pertama, Kau Asing Di Mataku, Bulan, and many more. The struggle and the perseverance of Mega Mustika in her career resulted in fame, especially in 90s. Alright, listener, before we continue, we play you a song by Mega Mustika called Hitam Bukan Putih. Happy listening!
Walau kau menghibur
of 80s, dangdut music started coming out with young singers. In the previous period, few newcomers emerged. In this era, new talented singers such as Iis Dahlia, Mirnawati, Irma Erfiana, Johnny Iskandar, and many others successfully grabbed people's attention. Nega Mustika was one of the newcomers at that time. She started enjoying fame when she released an album Hitam Bukan Putih, or Black is Not White. It is the song that brought Mega to become a popular teen dangdut singer. When Mega released the song Bukan Yang Pertama or Not the First, composed by Leo Waldi, she became more popular among dangdut music lovers in 90s. Listener, to end the programs, we'll play you a song by Mega Mustika entitled Bukan Yang Pertama and Penghalang Cinta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Kau yang ku anggap sebagai teman biasa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter
to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.